As we gather around the written word and listen to the spoken word, may we meet with the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. So, as I've said a couple of times already this morning, we're thinking about today, noticing what God is doing. And this is part of a whole series thinking about our church value of celebrating. Last week we thought about the place of joyful worship in our celebration and our celebrating. And this week we're noticing what God is doing. That psalm that I read a few moments ago, it talks about having hope, about praising God. And it seems to me that as you read it through, that hope and that praise, it comes from reflecting on what God has done. Noticing it. About telling others. Give me the chance, Lord, to tell the next generation, the psalmist writes. About trusting God to do the same kind of things again. God, I see that you've done this in the past, so I trust you for the future. And as you read through, just that refrain, those different phrases for what God does. Righteous deeds, saving acts, mighty acts, righteous deeds again, marvelous deeds, mighty acts, great things. You might, when you get home, you've got a paper Bible, you might want to look at it this week. Look at this psalm and go through and highlight all the ways in which it describes what God does. Mighty, righteous, marvelous, great, saving, these things that God does. And in the midst of all that, though, the psalmist is real about life. He says some of these things have been painful and uncomfortable, even says bitter. But through them all, even the bitter things, the psalmist notices and sees God at work. And so trusts for the future, when he's old and grey, that God will restore and comfort, even through the difficult times. And all of this trust, all of this telling other people about it, all of this hope, it all starts with noticing what God is doing and has done. The passage from Matthew's eyewitness account of Jesus' life that Rian read for us, we begins with us overhearing Jesus praying. And as he prays, he's praising his Father God for showing the important things of God's kingdom to little children. Not to the wise and the educated, but to little children, those that the world might look down on. And then we hear some of Jesus' teaching. He makes it clear that we get to know God by watching Jesus, by listening to Jesus. And he says all that we need to do to hear him, to see God more clearly, is to admit our need and come to him in humility. To say, yeah, I'm weary, I'm worn out, I can't do life on my own. And as we do this, we find that as we humble ourselves, so we find in God not someone far away sat looking down on us, but somebody who comes to meet us in the same humility, with gentleness, who lifts us up, gives us rest, who takes our burdens. And I think one of the things we can take from this is that noticing what God is doing doesn't have to be hard work. We don't need to be clever or well-educated or feel like we know our Bibles really well or to be really advanced Christians to notice what God is doing. We just need to watch as children do, with interest, with that curiosity that drives them to ask why so many times. With humility, with a willingness to learn. And I wonder if it might help us this morning to think about three different areas where we might want to explore noticing what God is doing. In our own lives, in our church life, and in our community. So let's start with our own lives. I wonder how you would react if I asked you what God is doing in your life at the moment. Just take a moment. What is God doing in your life at the moment? Last week, I was talking a little bit about finding joy in the little things. If you want to hear what is, I'm assured, is a really good Eeyore impression, and you weren't here last week, it's still on our YouTube and Facebook channels. You can go and have a listen if you feel like it, or on our sermon podcast. I was talking about what finding joy in the little things, how that can lead us into worship. In the week, I received an email from someone in the congregation, and I've had permission to share this. And she wrote, "As I was sat reading early in the morning this week, I just happened to glance out through the window and was so delighted with what I saw. The old trees opposite my house have been there forever, but it was a beautiful, cold, frosty morning with a fantastic blue sky, and those trees were lit like I'd never seen before. I even took a photo. It was stunning, and there was that elusive joy. I continued to look at them, and I started to think about God and us. God was represented in the strong, powerful trunks, and all the branches were intertwining. Us. It reminded me of one of my favorite passages in John's Gospel about the true vine. Yes, the trunk not only nurtures those branches, but it revives them from their dormant winter state to the beautiful green summer tree. And I felt so uplifted, for so it is with us and God and the varying seasons of our lives." I feel that that email expressed that person noticing what God was doing. It wasn't a complicated process. It wasn't difficult. It was just taking the time to stop and be and notice trees. And from that, and an openness to just reflecting on it, came to some conclusions and some insights into what God might be doing. And so it seems to me that if we want to be able to answer that question, it's worth taking the time to stop and reflect. I start most of my days looking back over the day before, journaling a little bit about the previous day, reflecting where God seemed to be present and where God seemed to be absent. This way of looking back over the day before, or in the evening looking back, if you're an evening person, you want to do this in the evening, you can do it looking back over the day that's just been before you go to bed. It's based on ancient practice called examine. And I find it really helps to notice what God is doing, to celebrate it. We don't have to do it on our own. Being part of a prayer triplet or a small group that can ask, "What's God doing in your life at the moment?" can help us just to take that time to reflect on it. What would it be like if we were to help each other in this? To have someone, have people we trust who can ask us this question, "What is God doing in your life at the moment?" It might feel scary. What if I've got nothing to say? But it seems to me that it could release us and show us so much if we but dare it. And this way of noticing what God is doing can be used to discern what God is doing in the church as well. We have a staff meeting most Sunday mornings, and we start those meetings by sharing where we've seen God at work over the last week and where we felt like God has been absent. We celebrate and praise God for the things that we see God doing, and that's great. But actually, the things where it feels like God is absent are sometimes the most fruitful. When we bring that and say, "God, why did it feel like you weren't there? Is this something you don't want us to be doing? Is it something we've got to press through?" Those places, actually, ironically, where we notice that we can't sense God or something appears to be going wrong, actually are the most fruitful for the kingdom, we find. They provide opportunities for growth and for change. And again, this is something that we can do in small groups, not just for ourselves, but for our church community. And then thinking a little bit more widely, when we're talking about the mission of the church, how we reach out and share the good news of Jesus with those around us in the community, a phrase we often use is, "Find out what God is doing and join in." Have you heard that? Find out what God's doing and join in. Well, if you haven't heard it, there you are. A gift for you this morning. Find out what God is doing and join in. Part of the challenge is this, is working out what God is doing so that we can join in. We need to notice. And how do we notice? Well, there was a bishop, a guy called John V. Taylor, who wrote a brilliant book called Go Between Gods, middle last century, a long time ago. And his answer to this, he's a great writer on the mission, suggests three ways of noticing where God is at work in the community. Which factors are giving people a more intense awareness of something other, which draws their attention to some greater whole? What is going on here that lifts people's eyes from the day-to-day and the mundane and the things in front of them to something else, something other, something wider? What going on here is compelling people to make personal and responsible choices? What here is, what going on in this community is making people change what they do for other people's sake? What factors are calling out from people self-denial and sacrifice? What's going on in our community which is encouraging people to put others before themselves? And John V. Taylor suggests that if we come across things that are encouraging people to look up, look to others and put others before themselves, those God-like, Christ-like things, then it's a fair chance that God is stirring something up, that God's Holy Spirit is at work in these people, and we can join in with that. And it was written in the context of mission, of sharing the good news of Jesus. And this morning we're talking about noticing what God is doing so that we can celebrate. But I'd like to suggest that those two things are actually linked. As we join in what God is doing, so we can also point towards God. We can say to people, what's being done here is brilliant. Can I join in? And then at the right point say, I see God's hand in this. Can you see it too? Now, over the last couple of years, we've been supporting financially, and some of our folk have been getting involved in a schools wedge project that works across the Telford area, including in Charlton, headed up by John Proctor. It's called Engage Schools. And so it's part of us thinking practically about what it means to notice what God is doing. I thought we'd have a worked example. So John's come along this morning. I'm going to ask him some questions about what God is doing in our local secondary schools, so that we can celebrate it together. So, John, if you want to use that mic, I'll use my clip mic.
Lovely. Good morning, everyone.
Morning, John.
Hi there. Hi.
So, can you share a bit of the background of what Engage Schools is and where it works?
Yeah, okay. So, Engage Schools is now in its fourth year, and you'll appreciate it's been a funny kind of 4 years, and particularly the last couple have been difficult. But essentially, Engage Schools is a ministry of Telford Christians Together, and also Catalyst Youth Trust, which I also work as a director of. And our mission, if you like, is to raise up the spiritual temperature in our local secondary schools, to see where there are avenues to serve, avenues to speak about Jesus, and ways in which that we can get involved, not only as, say, me, because I'm the only person who's employed to do this work, but crucially, how we can get involved in the mission of local church to help to match up kind of what's happening here, like physically here, and how that can work in local schools, or indeed how we can support what you're already doing as a local church in your local secondary schools. So that's it in a bit of a nutshell.
So how have you noticed God at work in our local secondary schools? And perhaps if you've got some examples from Charlton, that'd be great, but not elsewhere in Telford.
Well, I think one of the real sort of challenges of the last couple of years is actually we've not really physically been able to be in secondary schools. That's been a real challenge. But what I've noticed is that there's something that is more than brewing. I think there's something really there in pockets around Telford. Of course, we're talking about 15 secondary schools, so it's hard to be kind of everywhere all the time. But if I use sort of Charlton as an example, there is a real recognition that the church has got something to offer. And one thing that's been really kind of perhaps fascinating is the way that you guys and then over in kind of Adbiston House with the St. Christopher's Trust have been able to kind of join up and do things that really represents the kingdom of God in that school. So I've been able to be perhaps a bit of a kind of catalyst in the background to kind of help things move. But actually what I hear is, yes, we'd love to have you kind of work in the self-esteem of the young people. Yes, we'd love to have you work in the transition of young people coming in. Yes, we'd like to have the church speak into the RE department. There's a lot of yeses, and please take it from me, any yes in a secondary school in this day and age is very much a recognition of I think God's movement, because it's so easy for education to say no to us. We're not part of the system. We don't understand the rhythms. We're not actually intrinsically helpful in the curriculum. We don't really kind of, in some senses, have anything particularly helpful to speak into the institution of how you get a kid from A to B. And so when there's a yes, you know, I'm always looking for, is that a yes because they're looking to take something from us? Actually, the yeses are so infrequently cynical. Are you following what I'm saying? You know, sometimes people say, well, don't say yes to too much in a school because they just want to take it for granted. Actually, I don't find that's the case. Often I find that schools are saying yes to things that are so important to us spiritually, and so it's wonderful to be a part of that sort of environment.
And on the flip side, have there been aspects of the work where it's felt like God's been absent, like things haven't gone to plan, that you've had to change things?
Yeah, in some ways it's felt like perhaps 60-40 in the difficulty, particularly this last period of time, because it's so hard to communicate to a school the worth of perhaps what the church has to offer when the gates are closed. And we had big plans for the last couple of years. You know, we started with Jesus Live, a big multimedia lorry classroom. You might remember the news of that. That was 2019. Wow. And once we hit the first lockdown, we became very much an online ministry. Now, when you know the community on the other side of the camera, there can be a real encouragement in that. But there were times when we were, perhaps faithfully sending encouragements to schools and thinking, there's nothing coming back. We don't know what's going on. And at times we just felt like we were dropping pebbles in a pond and nothing was happening. And we have had to change our approach so dramatically at times. Sometimes even doing things that, okay, well, schools will come, but we'll, for example, in some senses, okay, maybe schools work isn't really happening, even though we're called engaged schools. Well, okay, but I can see God moving perhaps in local youth groups, maybe with the local youth leader. I'll spend my time over there and just pray, okay, God, you show me the faintest light over there. But it's been difficult because there have been so many things where we felt that God has been absent, and it's been discouraging because there's been, obviously, in the pandemic, a lot of, no, that's not going to work. No, you can't come in. No, that was a good idea you spent a lot of time on, but no, I don't want to use it. Wow, you know, it's been a difficult time.
So how can we be praying for you and engaged schools as we go into 2022?
I think I would love for you to pray, obviously pray for the local secondary schools, that's obvious. I think what I'd really love for you to pray into is the people who are coming through and being able to give time to secondary schools. One of the big perhaps surprises of this last period of time is how much the Church of Telford has been investing in youth work. That's a great encouragement to me, and I'd love for you to be praying for those people that have been put in position. one of the big surprises was the South Telford churches springing up a brand new church youth ministry. And that was, I mean, I was thrilled because that sprang up through a resource that we created. But this is the sort of thing I'm talking about. There are well-established youth works. You guys have well-established ministry. Please pray for those who are establishing brand new youth ministry around this town and area. There's some wonderful stuff going on. And the people who are in those positions, I'm in the position where I'm encouraging them, but actually, you know, to have the church behind recognizing what God's doing, you know, the people in those positions, and then the young people that they're serving.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I know Fiona's going to pray for you and Engage Schools in the intercessions, but we're going to pray for you now as well, because it never hurts to pray twice.
Mm.
So, Father God, we thank you for John. We thank you for Engage Schools and the way that they have seen you at work over the last 4 years. And we bring before you now particularly those ministries among youth and in secondary schools that are being established now. Thank you for raising them up. Would you establish them and make them fruitful, please? And we pray for our secondary schools and our young people and teenagers that they would come to know you, to see you and to love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thanks, John.
Bless you.
And I'm sure, John, are you okay to hang around for coffee afterwards?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so over coffee afterwards, if you want to catch up with John, ask him any questions, please do. I mean, he would love to see you. So, I'm just going to bring that back in. Just remind us that we've been thinking about noticing what God is doing. Noticing God in our own lives, in our church life, and in our community. Celebrating where we see positive and feel God's presence, and questioning where we feel God's absence, and opening ourselves up to the growth that that provides, because that too, in turn, will lead to us celebrating.